Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Hello, Mum.
See, he wants to say hello, Mum. We're in Zalesjani Airfield, which is about 15 kilometres north of Banja Luka and about 6 from the village where I live. We've come down today because over the past 3 days we've heard aircraft flying around. There's been teams from all over the world, 102 competitors, I'm led to believe. And I come here and the first thing that I bump into as I'm walking along to try and get some good shots is a traditional English accent. So, you know, you have to do it. You have to go along and say, oi, because nobody says pardon in our language anymore. And I've bumped into...
My name's Andy Godwin, I'm from Milton Keynes, and I'm here with Euphoria Freestyle, which is a team of two, and we basically do aerial acrobatics, something along the lines of ballet. I have Alex, who sat just down there, and what she actually does is flies around in the sky, looks very pretty, and I fly around her, and we have 5 free rounds and 2 compulsory rounds. Compulsory rounds, they tell us what we have to do, and then we get scored on that. Currently, we are in 4th place in the world and 3rd in Europe. So it's our first official competition, so I'm quite happy so far.
This is Banja Luka. This is in Bosnia. This is right off the map. This is a place so far off the beaten track that most people even don't even know where it is in the Balkans, but you've arrived here. We'll go back to about aerial ballet and how you judge it and all that in just a second, but what made you come here?
Okay, each year they decide where they're going to hold the competition. Last year it was in the Czech Republic, the year before that it was in Germany, the year before that was in France. So they have a pool of people, and anybody in Europe can apply to hold these World Games. And Banja Luka did, and Banja Luka won it. So obviously most people flew into Croatia, hired cars, buses, you name it, they hired it, and we all drove, bused, flew, or whatever to get here. And we've all met up, and the competition's going quite well, and Banja Luka are doing a really, really good job. They've looked after everybody. They've got us in hotels. They've got buses. They've got food. They've done it. I believe that this used to be some sort of camp, and they've sort of done it all up. They had a massive procession last night. Thousands of people turned up to wave us all in, and we all paraded in front. And children came out, and we gave them, you know, flags and sweets. And, it's going really well, and, you know, thank you, Banja Luka.
So first impressions are good?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, in 10 years, for me, I remember Bosnia of old. So I was slightly concerned about coming here. And obviously, I've come here and I found out that some of the views and and the opinions from 10 years ago have gone. It's just like anywhere else in Europe at the moment. Everyone's extremely friendly, extremely helpful. The internet is fantastic. UK phones struggle a little bit, but apart from that, it's just like being anywhere else in Europe now. I would come back here on holiday. The people have been great, and there's lots to do.
I don't know. I know very little, if hardly anything at all, about skydiving. And we were rushing around saying, "God, let's go and let's take some content of people landing." But it's not about the landing; it's about what you're doing in the air. How do the judges work out how good, how talented you are? I mean, that's quite a few thousand feet up, right?
Yeah. Okay. What you've basically got at the moment is you've got different categories of flyers. So you've got what we call belly flying and free flying and artistic flying. Belly flying is where you get between 4 and 8 people and they fly face down to earth and they do points. And points are, yeah, they build a circle, they build something else, and each time they build the points that they're told to build within 45 seconds, they get scored for it. And that's how they tell with belly flyers who's won. So they work it out and the person that scores the most points wins. They also do something called VFS, which is head down point flying, where everybody flies upside down, and they do the same thing where they grab hands and legs and feet and arms and God knows what, and you get scored for that, and the one with the most amount of points wins. Then you have artistic is 2 people and 3 people, and this is where it gets a little bit subjective, because it's what you consider artistic that you like. So they give us a remit of what they want straight arms, bent legs, God knows what, and we film it in a way that makes it into an aerial ballet, and then a panel of judges sit down and score that and go, okay, this was difficult, we'll give them 4, this was clean, it was presented well, we'll give them 5. They add that up and they go at the end of that round, okay, you've scored 6.8, you've scored 9.9. to give you an idea, the teams that are ahead of us, they're full-time teams, that's all they do, you know, that's their job, 7 days a week they get paid to skydive. So for us as a UK team, you know, we are sponsored a little bit by the British Parachute Association, we're also sponsored by the Army Parachute Association, we're also sponsored by Airkix, so they help us out a little bit, but we're a part-time team, so you can never catch up that sort of score, and it shows in scoring. Those guys are getting 8s, what they do is fantastic, and we're getting sort of 6s, 7s, so, you know, I think it's pretty fair, and I think they're doing a really good job. But at the end of the day, it's not over till it's over, because everybody can miss an exit or be a little bit late, and if they miss that, it can give you the edge. So at the moment, we're chasing the Russians. They beat us last year by a couple of points, and they're ahead of us again this year, but they're our benchmark, so if we can beat the Russians, I'd be quite happy.
You're talking about sponsors, and you're talking about the Army Parachute Association. Is there a link with the British military, with the Red Devils over this?
Not really. I mean, I've sort of been using Netherhaven, which is a parachute centre in the UK, and I've been jumping there for over 20 years. I know it's hard to imagine you looking at my youthful looks.
A bit like me, then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it sort of works out quite well for us, because obviously we spend a lot of time there. I was in the Territorial Army. I know lots of people that have been to Bosnia, and I work quite well with them, and they're happy to sponsor us to come to events like this, because obviously for us it means we get more information, we get better at what we do. When we go back to the UK, we take that back to the centre, and then we can basically coach it and train all of the jumpers that are there on freestyle, on what it's like to go to world meet, and give them advice. Everybody likes to meet people that have done something a little bit interested. They also sponsor people that go all over the world for, you know, base jumping, Birdman base jumping, canopy formations, all sorts of things, and those people come back to the centre, and then we pass that information on to each other. Very, very interesting.
You said that the Russians are the main competition. I believe it's the end of tomorrow night, right? Friday night?
Yeah.
That's when everything will be settled in stone, so to speak.
Should be.
Your prognosis?
Okay, I would say, to be absolutely honest, you're going to get, in my category, which is freestyle, you're going to get first, second and third will be France. Fourth and fifth, yeah, because they're full-time teams, that's their job. They're full-time teams, they're the best flyers in the world. Fourth and fifth will be between the UK, Russia and the Ukraine. I would hopefully say that it will be the UK. But what you've got, 2 meets, you've got a world meet and a European meet, which means that we'll be fourth in the world and I reckon third in Europe.
When you leave Banja Luka, yeah. We'll talk about this, hopefully catch up tomorrow when it's finished, yeah, to get your thoughts. But at the moment, you know, you must plan ahead. It must be very busy. It must be a very expensive sport to be part of. You know, when Banja Luka's finished, where next?
Okay, next year, funnily enough, we have the British Nationals in September, where as long as you get placed in the British Nationals, you get the opportunity to represent your country. You can't just rock up at a world event. You have to prove yourself in the UK, and then obviously what happens then is you get presented to go to a world meet. Next year, the world meet, there'll be 2 meets. There'll be one back again in Banja Luka, they've bid for it, and the actual world championships will be in Venezuela. Personally, for me, I would like to go to Venezuela because I've been to Banja Luka, and I can't afford to do the 2. As you said, it's so expensive. It'd be great to see it, but it's thousands and thousands of pounds. I would say skydiving is probably a bigger spend than my mortgage and my wife combined.
That is some hobby.
It is. But you get to meet amazing people, go all around the world and turn up at lots of venues that you would never ever go to. And you get to meet with the locals. I mean, Banaluca have been very, very crafty the way that they've skilled this. When the UK had the Olympics last year, they got all the volunteers in. And Banaluca have sold it here, and it's fantastic. So when we turned up, we met this young lad, his name was Alexander, and he basically helped us out for the first 2 or 3 days until we found our fee, you know, showing us where the shops are, meeting us to go for a drink, taking us to the right restaurants. And they basically sort of sent a load of these, you'll see them all walking around in white T-shirts, and they're all volunteers. Everybody here is pretty much a volunteer, which is amazing. So they're all there to help us out, and it's like, that's the first time I've ever been somewhere, and I think a lot of places will, you know, we'll do the same thing again.
Andy, with a bit of luck, we're going to catch up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, sure, no
but
problem.
For the time being, lots of luck, and we'll be looking out. I'll be shouting for you anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
You won't hear me, though.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to go and like, maybe do a little bit to the Russians, that'd be awesome as well.
Okay. Right. See you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.